Good morning. Feeding the 5,000. John 6, 1 through 14. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denars would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This indeed is the prophet who has come to save the world." Amen.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the opportunity to gather together today to hear your message to us, to reflect on it, to make it part of our lives, and to continue to worship you through our actions and what we do. I pray that you will open all of our hearts and minds to receive your message today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as a church, you know, we will always have needs. For instance, there is always something that needs to be repaired, something that needs to be fixed. And to give you some examples, in the last month or so, after all that rain we had, it was the chimney above my office here at the church, and it was the chimney of the cottage that needed repair. The vestibule where you enter the sanctuary is in need of repair. We're looking to give the parlor a much-needed facelift. But those are some, you know, reasonably straightforward things to address if you have the necessary funds to do it. Now, we are blessed in many ways. And we have different means of generating income in addition to your giving. But we still find it hard to balance the budget. And then there are more complicated challenges. As a church, we would like to grow. We would like to have more members. A deeper sense of commitment to God and to the church, spiritual growth in addition to numerical growth. And those are challenges that are more difficult to address. And like most other churches, we are dealing with post-pandemic struggles, and there are hardly ever an easy answer, or there are no straightforward answers to those. So we're busy with a series of sermons, a series of messages called Generous, the joy of giving, the beauty in giving. And we've talked about living with abundance and how to seek first God's kingdom, and in so doing, how we will experience a growing trust and a freedom from worry. We have focused on finding our contentment in God and not in the things of this world, and how that brings a changed perspective on money, and how money is no longer all important for our happiness, but rather a tool to be used for good in this world. And last week, we again discovered the flow of grace, and that just as God's grace flows from Christ to us and to the church, we are called to be conduits of grace. We are called to be transmitters of grace, to bless other people and to bless the world. So today, this passage from John is before us. It's really a story we're all very familiar with, right? Jesus feeding 5,000 people with just five barley loaves and two fish. And so as we speak about the reality of the challenges we face and the different needs we have to address as a church, it's of course also true that you face many challenges in your own life as well. And yet here we are today. We are together in worship, just like those who have come before us since 1915 in this church's case. And by God's grace, we've been brought thus far. And so what now? In our passage today, Jesus was speaking to a large crowd that was following him. And they were there in numbers to hear from him. Why? Because they were facing their own challenges. They had their own needs and scarcity. They were sick and they wanted healing. They were living under Roman occupation and they wanted freedom. They were there because they were in need. And it's in this context that Jesus shows how God can multiply our gifts to provide for those in need. How God can multiply our gifts to provide for the community. So let's look at verse 9. After Jesus tells the disciples to go buy some food for the large crowd, and they reply, "Jesus, we don't have the financial resources to do that." And so Andrew said, "Well, here's a boy with five loaves of barley bread and two little fish, but that's not enough for so many people. There's this boy who has something, right? But that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this." Now, I want you to notice something. Jesus does not simply make food appear out of nowhere. He takes the generous gift of the little boy. It says Jesus took the bread and, having given thanks, gave it to those who were seated. He did the same with the fish. All ate as much as they wanted. So what Andrew said is not enough for the crowd, that just a drop in the bucket. That's what Jesus takes and then multiplies to feed everyone. And so here's a little boy. Maybe his parents sent him to the market to buy some bread and fish, and maybe this family didn't have a lot of money, and they really depended on this boy to bring the food back home to them. And they would be upset if he doesn't come back with the goods. But on his way back, He sees the crowd gathering, and he's probably curious, and he hears Jesus' message. And he doesn't say so, but maybe he was the one to decide, who decided to come forward, to step forward. And then he offered what he had. And his food ends up blessing this large crowd. Instead of being miserly, he's very generous with what he had. And so the question is, do we as a church sometimes act miserly around our resources? Do you act miserly around what you have? Remember, we talked about how sometimes we operate out of fear that we won't have enough. Like the whole toilet paper shortage during the height of the pandemic, remember? It brought the worst out of some people. And it brought goodness and grace and generosity out of others. But we often have this scarcity mindset. I'm not going to have enough. And so I think we all need to learn to trust God more, to learn how to partner in our community of faith to sow abundance, to learn how to build this kind of trust in God instead of operating out of a scarcity mindset, this fear that we won't have enough for ourselves. And what's further interesting in this passage is how Jesus, or how the disciples in the story, react to Jesus' question. Jesus asked Philip, well, where will he get enough? Where will we get enough food to feed all these people? And Philip, well, he's very practical. And he says, don't you know that it would take almost a year's wages just to buy only a little bread for each of these peoples? We don't have that kind of money. Andrew, although he notices the boy's food, is justifiably skeptical. And he says, well, there is a boy here who has 5 small loaves of barley bread and 2 fish. But what good is that with all these people? That's not going to get us anywhere. That's too little for such a large crowd. Now, some of us are like Philip, and some of us are like Andrew, practical, skeptical. But Jesus takes their concerns and he overcomes them. And he does what they don't think is possible. So can we be more generous in the face of skepticism that it will not be enough? And trust and rely on God to provide for our needs. You see, as a church, we sometimes feel that we have limited resources. But what if we have a more expansive view of community? Did you know that the 10% of the world's population go to bed hungry every night? That's 828 million people. There is enough food to feed everybody, but the brokenness and the narrowness of our human systems and ways prevent people from being fed. And we need to do better. And so thank you for participating in this Brown Bag Sunday, because it's one way for us to be mindful of those who will be visiting a food pantry out of need for food. And so thank you again, Annette, and for your leadership and for all who helped, and for all of those who have supported this ministry. But you know what makes the church different from many other communities? is that not only are we connected by shared ideas and interests, we are actually connected to one another. The Bible says the church is the body of Jesus Christ. He's the head, and we are the body. And as the body, the human body, we are one, but we have many different parts and functions. And when all the parts work together, the body functions well and the body is actually healthy. So what I'm saying is that we are better together. Not apart, not on our own. We are better together in community. We can do more together, and there is abundance in community. And we are blessed and being a blessing when we're willing to share what we have with others. Let me tell you a very, very old story. Once upon a time, there was a great famine. And because of the famine, there wasn't enough food to go around. And the people in one small village somewhere in Europe didn't have enough to eat, and definitely not enough to store away for the winter. And people were afraid that their families would go hungry. And so they hid the small amounts of food that they did have. They even hid their food from their friends and from their neighbors. And one day, a wandering soldier came into the village. And he asked the different people he met about finding a place to eat and sleep for the night. "There's not a bite to eat in the whole county," they told him. "You better keep moving on." "Oh, well, I have everything I need," he said. "In fact, I would like to make some stone soup to share with all of you." And so he pulled a big black cooking pot from his wagon, and he filled it with water and built a fire under it. And then he reached slowly into his knapsack, and while several villagers watched, he pulled a plain gray stone from a cloth bag, and he dropped it into the water. And by now, hearing about the magic stone, most of the villagers were surrounding the soldier and his cooking pot. And as the soldier sniffed the stone soup and licked his lips, the villagers began to overcome their lack of trust. "Ah," the soldier said aloud to himself, "I do like a tasty stone soup. But of course, stone soup with cabbage is even better." And soon a villager ran from his house into the village square holding a cabbage. "I have this cabbage from my garden," he said, as he held it out for the soldier. "Fantastic," cried the soldier. And the soldier cut up the cabbage and added it to the pot. "You know, I once had stone soup with cabbage and a bit of beef, and it was really even more delicious." And the butcher said, well, he thought he could find some beef scraps. And as he ran back to his shop, other villagers offered bits of vegetables from their own gardens, potatoes, onions, carrots, celery. And soon the black pot was bubbling and steaming. And when the soup was ready, everyone in the village ate a bowl of soup, and it was delicious. And the villagers offered the soldier money and other treasures for the magic stone, but he refused to sell it. And he had many offers for a cot to sleep on that night, and the next day he traveled on his way. What would it look like if we all brought our gifts, no matter how small, to the community. Because no matter the size, you know, God can bless our gifts, not only for the sake of our own faith community, but also for the community more widely. And so what barley loaves and barley loaves and fish do you have to give? What do you have to add to the stone soup in terms of time and talent and treasure? Though we may at times face scarcity, Jesus receives what we offer and he blesses it and he provides for us and he provides through us. Amen. Merciful God, we first want to say thank you for all the blessings we have. We acknowledge you as the giver of all good gifts. And even when we struggle and even when we deal with pain and hardship and loss and all kinds of things, in the end, we are still so, so blessed. So may we all not operate out of a scarcity mindset, but to trust you enough to provide for us and through us. May we indeed not be limited in our giving of our time and talent and treasure. Not to be miserly, but to be generous, because you are a giving God. You are a generous God. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.